QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the BBARC, go to www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. A lot of good information there. Check it out. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in the various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. Just keep aware of, I think we have some high wind warnings out there, so be careful. All right, our topic for the evening, we've got some great information from Clint. We're also going to be talking about software-defined radio to kind of carry on from where we were last week with some of the circuit board fabrication and manufacture, or having somebody do it for you, whichever, all or none of the above. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started here with our roster. And we'll start off with KA6CIA George.
Evening, Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening, George. Always a pleasure to hear you out there. Appreciate that. And we will move on down to KJ6FIL, Mike. All right, I know he's normally out there, so we'll probably catch him down the road a little bit here. Next, I have WA6ITC Rod. All right, no Rod out there either this evening. That's okay. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
KJ6KDL here. Rosemary's in the background. Can you check in?
KJ6KDK.
No, we're both here.
Glad to have you out there. Good to have you out there too, Rosemary. All right. Well, no one of you's out there. We'll give him a call. W6GZI Frank.
Good evening, Tom and the net. W6GZI.
And good evening there, Frank. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather we have up here. Rather unseasonal, but hey, we'll take it. All right, how about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? All right, I don't hear Stephen out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Yes, sir. KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Glad to have you out there listening in. How about K6GBL Ron in Green Valley? All right, not hearing Ron out there, or how about AD6PL Harold?
In Torrance this evening.
I'm sorry, Ron, I think I doubled with you, but I got the fact that you're in Torrance, and we're glad to have you out there. Sorry about that. I keyed up a little bit too quick. How about AD6PL Harold?
Thanks, AD6PL.
And good evening, Harold. Glad to have you out there in Riverside. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom, and then that's KJ6RAY Mobile.
And good evening there, Ray. Take care out there in traffic, and glad to have you with us. Also, we have K6LCS Clint. I know he's out there. I just heard him.
Who? Who? K6LCS.
yes, mobile, and boy, it's going to be an exciting day tonight.
Thank you, Clint. Glad to hear you out there. Actually, with your mobile, and you pulled over. Got a lot of people out there this evening. Thanks again for joining us. Let's see, how about KJ6PYB, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYB, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there, neighbor. All right, how about K6YNW? Let's see if Chris is out there from the lower desert. All right, not hearing Chris out there. How about W6POO, Chip?
Hi, good evening to the net. This is W6POO, Palm Springs.
And good evening there, Chip. Great signal, by the way. Another repeater. Sounding good. Glad to have you with us. How about KD6LN, Bill?
Yes, sir. We be here. KD6LN.
All right, Bill, glad to have you out there. Well, let's see, I got KJ6QYM. Hey, just heard him in there. Hey, Shelly, how you doing?
Good evening, Tom. Good evening to the net. Little update news. The Jess Ranch Masters Association, HOA, approved a station for the clubhouse. ITI 9000 VHF, a Diamond X50, some cable, and Anton 37 watt continuous power supply. So that's the big news, I guess, for today. KJ6QYN, mobile monitoring.
Well, good deal there, Shelly. Yeah, that's great news. Hopefully that all comes together for you. And sounds like some good gear there. It'll definitely get you out. And we're looking forward to hearing you in the future here. So, all right. Well, let's see. I'm going to turn the page here. I've got a lot of people on this list, kind of skipping over a few. Tonight, I've got AE6CK Victor. All right, not hearing Victor out there. How about KA6ROD Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to hear you out there this evening. Good signal. Good to have you with us. All right, how about W6JET, Rob? All right, not hearing Rob out there this evening. I'll go into some of the backup calls here. Which we have actually quite a few. Some check in, some don't, from day to day. Let's see, how about W6CYS, John? That's right, John was going to be tied up at a birthday dinner. John, that's okay, you can join us later. KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. Moving ahead, how about W2PFIA? Let's see if Art's out there.
Good evening,
Tom, the net, W2CFA. And good evening, Art. Glad to have you out there. Let's see here. I got KK6FJE. Let's see if we got Zach.
Howdy, y'all. This is KK6FJE. Zach, see, clamped into position and listening away.
Zach, glad to have you out there. Appreciate you joining us here in Sugarloaf. All right, how about KK6HUB? Bob, recently and now general class. Hey, Bob, you out there?
Hey, hello, Tom, and hello to the group, KK6HUB.
All right, Bob, glad to have you out there, as always. All right, have how about W6OXA? Let's see if Omar's out there. All right. Well, I know we have probably a lot of others out there. We'll go ahead and do a call. See who would like to check in this evening. And we'll get your name written down here on the list. Anybody like to check in as a guest? OTY. All right, got you checked in here, and where are you hailing in from this evening?
Big Bear Lake.
Oh, very good. Glad to have you with us. We're in Big Bear Lake, so there you go. Sounding good out there. Anybody else?
Yes, A6CK.
There's Victor. All right, good to have you out there, Victor, A6CK. Glad you could join us. I know you usually do. Anybody else? All right, well, we'll go ahead and stop right there so we can go ahead and get started with our topic. Of course, anybody else listening can always join in with questions or comments. As always, it's an open net. Anyway, this evening, got some great news here from Clint. Clint, glad you could join us, and I know that you've actually found a great location there as your mobile. Well, Clint, we're going to go ahead and hand it over to you real quick. You got some great information on some of the things happening with you out there with the AMSAT group. Would you like to go ahead and take it from here? Over to K6LCS from KF62 Tech Tuesday in the group.
Tom and Annette, good evening. It was nice seeing a few of you out at the Palm Springs Ham Fest last Saturday. They put on a wonderful show for a one-day event. If you're interested in ATV, there was an hour-long session from an expert in the field. If you're interested in teaching others about amateur radio, our own Gordon West gave a talk on educating the educators. If you're interested in working a ham satellite with a watt or two, I had 45 folks out on the patio at 10:31 a.m. while we successfully worked in Vancouver, British Columbia, and Arizona, and Colorado. When the bird was more than 700 miles away, we worked SO50. It was a wonderful 78-degree pass for us, break. Or if you're interested in disaster preparedness and want to know more about what amateur comms hospitals are using in the region, there was an hour-long presentation on that. Dr. Kate Hutton, her own Dr. Kate Hutton, who is celebrating 5 years of being a ham, gave a presentation on the National Traffic Service that was very well received. In addition to the traditional traffic nets, attendees learned how the NTS is now using automatic digital message forwarding on PACTOR, also radio email via WinLink 2000 and other modes. That was a well-attended session. Break. And there was stuff I couldn't get to see. I wasn't an attendee this time. I was a vendor, so I had to stay with my booth. But there was a mounted patrol outside, a search trailer, a convention room full of vendors. You could purchase an antenna adapter to the new Elecraft wonderful QRP rig. You could learn about the new true dual-receive, dual-band, cross-banding handheld that is retailing for well under $100. To celebrating with us the FT60's 10th birthday. And most importantly of all, coffee was only a dollar, with free refills for the entire event. So please, folks, when you start hearing about the Palm Springs Ham Fest for 2015, they cover many aspects of our hobby. If you want to rub shoulders with industry leaders, discover what's new and exciting for major vendors, looking to support the smaller vendors like the badge maker and the embroiderer, who are obviously dedicated to amateur radio. And man, we had a list of raffle prizes that rivaled any Ham Fest you've attended. Please mark your calendars when they start announcing the date for the Palm Springs Ham Fest for 2015. Well, let's move east a little bit. About 10 days ago, I posted in the news groups a contest from the European Space Agency that astronaut Luca Parmentano was going to hold a little session, a little day-long session, for 50 of his folks that subscribe to his Facebook page and his Twitter page. Get to rub shoulders with an astronaut for a day. They chose me. I kid you not. The good news is I've been invited to schmooze with Luca Parmentano on April 11th, 2014. That's the good news. The bad news is it's in Roma, Italy. I need to fly to Rome at this late date. Oh, it's going to get $2,000 just for the flight. But man, oh man, what an opportunity. Stay tuned for that. Watch Ham Nation tomorrow night and see what happens with that. But I got a bunch of strict regulations. My passport is current. Man, oh man, if you want to get involved supporting this effort, I'm going to try and get a lock of his hair. Oh, he shaved his head. I can't get a lock of his hair. But anyway, astronaut admiration. Break for a sec. Let's see. I'm supposed to be talking about amateur satellites. SO50 is fine. The ISS is fine. And Tom wanted me to talk really quickly about this SDR dongle. After reading about these SDR dongle things, I did some research for a couple days on the net and chose a company called, oh God, you have to help me out, Tom. My printout is, that's not my printout, it's my eyes. But it's a weird little company named Nouelec, Nouelec. $20 on Amazon gets you a silly little antenna, but the USB dongle, a remote control. There are two wonderfully reviewed programs to control this thing, but it's essentially a wide-range receiver. Throw a long wire on it, you're working the planet. We're not transmitting, but you're receiving the planet. So Amazon's got them for $20, and Tom will go more into it. But this SDR dongle thing just enticed me for too long, so I broke the bank out and spent $20 on Amazon today. Tom, that's all I've got. And Chip out there, POO, he was one of the MCs on Saturday. K6LCS.
Well, Quinn, great information there. And yeah, I looked that up. Essentially, it's N-O-O, like in new, but spelled with N-O-O, ELEC, like in electricity. You can get more stuff out there on newelec.com. A lot of good stuff there. And yeah, basically, it's a SDR chip. Frequency range, which is approximate, which is about 25 megahertz, all the way up to 1,750 megahertz. There's some quick information. Just go ahead and Google that up. It's N-O-O-E-L-E-C.com. And you'll get some great information on this device out there. Very cool little thing. Weird looking, but cool. And generally, it's essentially a receiver. And we're going to talk about some more stuff with SDR here shortly. Clint, great information out there. I'm going to hand it over to anybody real quick. Anybody with any questions for Clint on his adventures going to Italy, we hope. And anything else with satellite radio real quick. Anybody out there with questions or comments for Clint?
W2PFA.
Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, Clint, your demonstration was so good, I went and bought my aero antenna. W2PFA.
Well, yours, sir, is much more deep purple in color than mine. Mine is 10 years old, as old as the FT60. And don't clear coat it. Just let it age naturally and enjoy it. You're going to have a great time. Thanks, Art.
And you're also very entertaining with your demonstration. W2PFA is clear.
And this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group for ID, any Tuesday we can. Sounds great, Art. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments for Clint? All right, well, Clint, thanks for all that great information. I appreciate you pulling over the side of the road, taking a moment out to give us all that great stuff. So hopefully, of course, we will hear more from you in the future on more Tuesdays here from Tech Tuesday and the group.
Yeah, it's okay to stop in the middle of the freeway, isn't it, 15 South? Some people are upset with me on the number 2 lane here, but I'll start it back up and get out of here. K6LCS.
You just make sure you have your flashers on, that's all. So it's it'll be a little safer. Yeah, not a problem, Quinn. All right. Well, good deal. Thanks again. Well, good deal. And everybody out there who was with us last week, we talked a lot about making your own printed circuit boards or getting them made, which is actually probably the easier of the two. A couple of different ways to do that and actually get things done cheaper. Let me reset real quick. Quite often, you can have two or three made, maybe even four, that will fit into a larger board and then score them and have them cut after you get them. So you could basically get like maybe four made at one time. And where you do save is there's a $15 overhead fee for them to make up the photo mask, another $12 if they make up a solder mask, and we'll get on to where that comes in really handy, and things like that, which are a one-time fee for that order. So sometimes you can have like three or four made at a time per board, and then have maybe two or three boards make it a group effort or a club effort, and you'll get things done cheaper like that. So those prices, I do believe, are from, I'm going to have to look that up, but I think it was one of the PC manufacturers we had last week. It was either Eagle or it could have been PC. I think it was PCB Express. All right. Well, anyway, let's go forward here. And by the way, Clint, if you're still listening, Pactor, John W6CYS, who is out at a dinner with his son this evening for his birthday. Basically, Pactor, John is doing a lot of research on that to use this as a communications means for emergencies using HF radio, and we'll probably get into more of that in the next couple of weeks. Back to SDR, Software Defined Radio. What in the world is that? Well, if you're staying current with this stuff, it's nothing brand new. It's been around for some time. Of course, it's getting better all the time. Essentially, the functions of the radio itself, ham transmitters and receivers, transceivers, or just receivers themselves, are controlled by none other than software. Yes, a computer has broken into this stuff again. Oh, no. Actually, it's a good thing, though, because by changing some of the programming that we have out there, the software, easy to change a few letters and words and recompile that and put it back in there, and then the radio does different things or better things or more features that wasn't enough time to add in the first place, rather than redesigning the entire electronics, which is a huge amount of effort, as we've seen all these different releases of different radios through the past. And we're going to pick on one this evening, even though it's not the only one. We're going to talk about the Baofeng, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Baofeng, very popular in the last year or two for reduced prices, and I think the Wuxian also fits into this category. Anyway, any comments or questions real quick before we move ahead with Software Defined Radio? All right, if you think of anything, feel free to join in after a bit here. Anyway, so what's inside that thing? Well, you know what? We talked about this last week of looking into the schematics. So I did, and actually downloaded. It's readily available on the net for the UV3, which is a smaller, earlier version of, that's still out there for sale, of the Baofeng, and I'll just call it the Baofeng for now, whether that's right or wrong. And the UV5R, UV5R Plus, and the E, and all those other different versions, which are basically software modifications of the radio. Well, after doing a lot of research, and which didn't really, it wasn't a huge amount, but looking over the schematics, the radio itself, and I have found also that this is true for a lot of the FRS radios out there. I'm sure there's probably quite a few that have this. The basic chip, one integrated circuit, is the brains of that radio. And I mean, it doesn't take a lot. It is really all in this one chip. With that said, We have a chip that's basically about less than a quarter of an inch square, a total of about 32 leads coming out of this thing, and this chip is literally RF, yes, RF as in radio frequency in, and output to a small little amplifier for the audio, and a microphone in to this chip, and transmitted RF at the power level of about 5 milliwatts, but RF out. And this chip does everything. I mean, it has digital signal processing for the audio, both directions, all of the FM modulation, demodulation, all of the band limitations, and essentially this chip was, it does have programming that can be put into it. However, that's not the programming that you or I can do, but it's actually done at the factory. And with that said, it actually handles three, or overlaps three of the ham bands. And if you're wondering how it gets that beautiful FM radio, they actually even have just a separate chip for the FM radio part for FM music broadcast band. And essentially that is the same. Yes, it is. Yes, again, RFN, music out. Anyway, well, this is greatly simplifying the inside. If you're wondering why those valve things were running for about $30, I think they're currently between $30 to $36 on the internet, some higher, basically. I don't know why they're higher. People are just charging more, I guess. But with all that said, yes, obviously a huge, huge price break. With this chip, there is, of course, a few more components. On the transmit part out, there is a small filter for the VHF and UHF, separate filters. I think those cost in the realm of, with a couple of surface-mounted parts, I think they're probably under about 20 cents each. And, of course, a preamp and amp for the RF, which works for both bands. That is approximately, well, we'll just have to put a price tag of about $3 on that. So you add all this stuff up, and those prices, of course, are high. We did some price checking on the chip. The chip, and this is in small quantities, like one, can be had for $2.38. However, if you're a manufacturer, it is, and hold on to your seat, of course, this is extremely cheap. This is FOB China, probably some shipping involved if you were to bring it just it over here. They sell for 10 for a penny. Yes, 10 cents. Or excuse me, 10 chips for one penny. And that's extremely cheap, of course. And you add on the freight on there, and you probably have 11 cents, or I mean 2 cents or something for 100 or so. I don't know. Anyway, it's just crazy. Now, to get all those great interface features, you've got the screen, of course, and they have thrown another little microcontroller unit in there to handle the screen and the keyboard. Add some memory in there, so they actually have a separate chip. But all that is what we call housekeeping. When you press this button, the radio does that. And memory, things to store, stuff like that, and controlling what you see in the screen. So input, output, LCD screen, keyboard. You probably got more tied up in the case and the keyboard and the screen than you have in all the electronics inside. So where is this headed? Where is ham radio headed? Well, the thing is in this microcontrol unit is also programmable. Proprietary, of course. Once they program it, they lock it. You can't see what's inside. There are some people out there right now. They're actually designing their own programs for this chip, and we'll keep you informed of what's going on with that. But essentially, if you were going to use this chip, we have an ongoing APRS project of making a very cheap 2-meter transmit only for APRS purposes. I think we're going to probably put this thing together for under $20 with the radio portion and the GPS and all that, and we'll get into that in just a minute. And there we go. Cool. Have to excuse my voice here. Outside all day. Beautiful weather up here in Big Bear. Cannot complain. KF62, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Well, Jim, I know you're out there in the shadows. Anything you'd like to add to that or any questions? KJ6KDL.
Well, I'm feverishly typing my notes for the audio webpage to include links, and I did not catch what the chip is. You probably haven't mentioned it yet, so I'm looking around to see which one you're talking about so I can include it in the page. but so far, so good.
Okay, well, you know what? Let me, I'm right now up here on my my other computer, and I have not the one I've been actually doing all the research in. However, it is here. And, you know, we've got, like I said, a lot of different people out there do stuff for APRS. And APRS, which is, all, for any of you out there who do not know what that is, APRS is a very cool part of ham radio, automated packet reporting system. And essentially, it's a dedicated frequency. I believe it's 144.39, or maybe 93, I'm not sure. But frequency, and set aside for radios that transmit a package. There's actually four different kinds of packets that go out there. If you'd like to see what's in your area, go to www.aprs.fi, as in Frank and Indio. Check that out. Check that website out. This is actually over in Finland, and this stuff is actually... All the, what we call iGates and things like that are putting this stuff out on the internet. And if you type that in, it may pull you up in the Finland area, just like Google Maps, get it over back to the United States, see all the stuff around you, and including weather stations, which are actually just through the internet only, but very cool stuff. APRS is really cool, especially if you live up here in Big Bear. If you have a loved one who's traveling up and down the mountains, and it's a good thing to have on board. Generally, it could be a separate radio, but there's a lot of radios out there right now that will work in APRS mode in the background, standard 2 meter and possibly 2 meter 440 in the foreground. So you know where they're at. If they are overdue, you can see, look up on this website, you can see where they are, what happened, where they're at, and maybe they're just stuck like behind some guy on the 15 freeway who pulled over in the number 2 lane. Which, of course, in that case, you'll see them behind traffic. You won't see all the traffic, but you'll see them kind of stop there on the 15 freeway. So anyway, this is used a lot with search and rescue groups. Very handy, kind of a cool thing. Not a lot more than that. I mean, other than it can be, it has, there are things like digipeaters and stuff out there that work with this, and iGates and all the other stuff. A little bit of a learning curve, but once you're at the top of that, you pretty much mastered it. Anyway, well, Jim, as I'm still kind of looking through here on my records, excuse me there, I'll let you go ahead, and if there's any comments or questions from you, and then we'll pass it out there to the group.
Let's see here. So we can give you a minute or two to look through your stuff. So Tom has been doing a lot of research on the hardware, and he or somebody who volunteers with him is going to be putting together a board layout to put these parts down and have a multitude of these made. So we're going to be looking for people who are proficient in soldering, and you're the size of the chip, so these pins are going to be a little bit small. We may need a magnifying glass, those of us who volunteer, to do some surface mount soldering. So keep thinking if you know anybody who might be interested in putting some labor in to put some of these things together. And we may even be able to make some for ourselves if we get enough in there. So let's see where Tom is, and we'll see if there's anybody else who has anything to add. KJ6KDL, back to KF6Q.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, I'm still going through. This is what I get for leaving this computer alone by itself. It hit everything on me. But that's okay. I'll find it. Anyway, the chip itself, which I say has been around for a while, it is surface mount. It's going to be a little bit difficult. We're going to have to get over some hurdles for the soldering part and the board part. However, that will be for the radio portion of this APRS unit. We're going to actually get some good news here on the GPS modules. These GPS modules. This would actually be the module. This is not the Garmin that you're going to be picking up or the one that's in your dashboard of your car. This is actually the module itself that actually is the brains behind this. It even has a chip itself, which is even smaller yet. The modules typically range between an inch and an inch by an inch and about an eighth of an inch thick. Up to maybe an inch by an inch and a quarter, and that's about it. Of course, they require power, and a lot of them have an onboard antenna. A lot of them have the option of an external antenna, and of course, this is where you have the little dongle that goes out there either on your dashboard or magnetic on the roof. Well, GPS assemblies like that, what do they do and what can you use with that? From that point, after you put it in a box of some sort, essentially it does have a serial port that goes out. You can feed this into a computer or something of that nature. You can actually interface this into, I think Microsoft Maps had an ability to take hold of this, actually put you right on the map where you're at. But there's also like many different options of that, and you can actually create your own GPS maps. Found a site for that on a free site of to work with this thing. Anyway, well, what's the cost? Oh yeah, the cost. Well, let's see. We started out and we were looking at these, and they were about $70, $50, $60, $70. That's a lot of money, but you know, it does a lot of things. But these people are in business to make money. So we started looking for the sources that supply them. And we started looking at the sources that supply those sources. And yes, we got all the way down to, found two sites, one local, one overseas. The local one here, $17 and change, shipping included. Overseas, actually $15 and change. Yes, big difference. And you say, well, you get what you pay for. Well, not necessarily. What you're not paying for here, and that is what you're getting, what you did not pay for, you're not paying for the profit and markup of about two or three more retailers in this chain. Nothing wrong with that. Of course, that's good for them to make money, but hey, we're out here to save money. We're going to get the cost of this project down. Anyway, with all that said, like I said, there's a couple of different chips out there for the MCU on the Baofeng radios, and those are not necessary. We don't have to have those. They're like an option. Like I say, we're going to do this thing for APRS. We don't need to store 200 frequencies. We don't need all the PLS. Private line codes, PL codes, stuff like that. We don't need that. So a lot of these features, which are going to go away, will almost eliminate that other microcontroller, but we'll probably put it on board there just for the fact that we can use it to also be the TNC, sorry, I'll get my terms right here, that actually will interface the GPS signals onto the radio. Done deal, out the door. And what's our goal here? No, our goal is not to put these on the market and sell them. We're going to actually build these just to see what we can get the cost down. It's a good project. It'll be ongoing probably for the next 6 months. It's going to take some time to get all these things, but like all the stuff out there, hey, good stuff comes with a little time and prep, and we'll be working on this and keeping everybody up to date. Anyway, well, Jim, anybody out there right now, I didn't actually hand it back to the group, anybody with any questions on this, please come back to KF6Q. Well, anyway, so I guess the point is with that is that when you thank goodness for the internet, we can get out there and actually do some research and find stuff. A lot of times the information is not going to be on the first site you go to, and if you do a lot of comparison, actually with this, for example, this GPS unit probably did about maybe 8 to 16 hours of comparing all the different chips out there, all the different suppliers out there, to make sure that is this truly the same thing they're just charging more for, and pretty much it. Got a lot of good reports from this, actually posted out there for the use of the chip. Many different things. They're being used for helicopter autopilot systems. They're being used for basic APRS stuff and mapping and stuff like that. So we're not the first one out there to do this. We're just trying it for us, and we're working on it. I'm going to try to get this thing done. And KF6Q, Tech Tuesday and the group. So anyway, that's not a lot for this Tech Tuesday, but by gosh, we're getting close to our closing time here shortly. Jim, anything else you would like to add? Any information and your experience with the actual interfacing person-to-person with the Baofeng radio and the Wuxian, for those who haven't had the privilege of programming this thing, that all can change. Okay, that programming, whoever designed it, it's a little difficult to work, and if I was going to redesign the radio, it'd probably be the first thing I'd have it do. Those features that make it a little difficult to put stuff into memory, that's all in the software, and that's the great part about software-defined radio. If it's not right, rewrite the software, and it's not complex stuff. Of course, if you're not a software writer, I guess it could be. But with that said, that change can always be made, and the hardware stays the same, and all of a sudden everything seems to fit into place. Over to you, Jim, real quick, KF6Q.
Yeah, that's exactly true. It's kind of like if you haven't worked with an HP reverse polar notation calculator, trying to work it for the first time or the first several times can be very difficult. If you don't know the order of doing things, and it seems like the person who set up the programming steps on the radio was thinking probably that way, as it's a lot easier to use the software to program the radio and then go through the menus and find what you want to change, because they're not in the order that you would expect them to be. So, yeah, that's true. And if I did find the IC. And Tom, if that ends in 1846, I think I just found a programming guide on somebody's website labeled confidential. I don't know if you found it, on how to program this chip. So anybody who can do software programming, yes, that's software defined. That's just like buying a brand new PC with a blank hard drive. Pick your operating system of choice, Linux, Windows, doesn't matter. That's the same thing here. It's just a brain waiting for instructions, and you put in how you want it to think, and it does follow some rules, and if you know the code, like anybody's done programming languages, then you're in. It takes a little time, and you can make it do what you want, and I'd be excited to do that to my Baofeng, because I was lucky to get it in simplex mode. That's what I'm using to record Tech Tuesday, by the way. I got a Baofeng $40 radio plugged into a automatic recorder, and it just listens and records. That's all it does. So we're going to do that on a small scale and much cheaper, except we're going to echo out with APRS instead of record the audio. Pretty neat things. If you've got the ideas, you can make it happen.
Yeah, the 1846, that is it. And like I said, I'm upstairs now on the different computer, and I will find it. That's why if you get too much stuff on a computer and the directories, the list of favorites gets too long, switch computers. Come back later. Oh, no, I don't know. This is, I find it a little bit hilarious, but I'll remember when I put everything here. But I do have it downstairs on the laptop. But yeah, the 1846, and a lot of that, you'll look in that guide, you can program it. It's actually more of a user's guide. You can actually just hardwire in if you're going to use it for a transmit only or a receive only. There's a few things in there as far as like what frequency to pick, things like that. A couple different things. Has, I believe, different power level settings. There's a couple things there. So, yeah, and the programming for that, yeah, it's not computer 101, but a lot of this stuff, you know, can be used. It's just we're bringing this to the attention of everybody out there, essentially, that this stuff is headed in that direction. You're going to find radios, TVs. I think that dongle that Clint was talking about, essentially, has something, maybe not that chip, but something very similar, expanding this huge area. And I think, Jim, we were talking about that chip, that the 1846, actually is set up as it comes, with three different ham bands. However, you'll only find two of those ham bands represented in the radios you buy, basically because of that filtering system, and I guess something, if they add the third one, it gets complicated. I have no idea why, but the 220 band is also an option in there, but you don't see that often. But yeah, good deal, Jim, and let's head it out there one more time to everybody out there, see if there's any questions or comments. All right, anyway, and anybody out there, if you ever opened up your radio, you look inside and there's a zillion parts in there, well, a lot of that is going to go away. Even some of the, I'm talking right now on an 897, a lot of electronics in that. However, the 857, Yaesu, same radio, just physically smaller, doesn't have the big compartment, and huge difference. So it's the one I have is physically bigger, probably doesn't need to be. I think the Elecraft, I think we were talking about that a while back. Mike has one, very tiny. In fact, the entire radio looks like a removable front, but that's the radio. So Elecraft also moving in that direction, you're going to find pretty soon, yes, you will have your entire radio will be on your wristwatch, whether your name is Dick Tracy or not. Jim, one more time back over to you, and we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday.
Yeah, in case anybody's getting worried that this is going to be a difficult thing, remember there's going to be some of us together. Tom's leading this up, obviously, and when this is all ironed out and put together, it will be a project kit to assemble. So if anybody's interested, stay tuned as things get going and Tom gets things ironed out and we get enough people lined up, then this will start taking off. And as Tom mentioned last week, this is going to be essentially for the ECS group. But, man, if you can get 10 ICs for a penny, at least one of those, enough people start sending in those emails, we might get a group together and get more kits put together. So this is going to be a really neat thing. And I did some look on the internet, and the few kits I did find, most of them are obsolete. Some of the pages are not being carried, and they're a lot more complex than this because they did not have the master MCU chip that the Baofeng is using in their project. So this is going to be a lot more streamlined and a lot easier to use. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and that's actually what I found, Jim. As I was looking out there, just doing research over the last 2 weeks, congealing to what we have today, I'll get something out there anyway. Essentially, there have been software-defined radio projects and radio systems out there as groups going way back. Actually, I believe up to almost 15 years ago. Well, you know, we have computers. Computers have been around for a long time. And radios are falling in that direction. A lot of the miniaturization and the cost of producing this has come extremely, has come down extremely to the part where it's just, like I said, it's pennies on the $100 bills. That's basically what it used to be. And so with that said, we're going to find this stuff. You know, of course, everybody's going to say, wow, that's an oldie radio. Look at that. It's actually as big as a shoebox. My goodness. Yeah, it's headed in that direction, and we're going to join in on that and just kind of see what we can produce for basically a 2-meter only use in APRS. It's going to be different phases, of course. We'll get the GPS talking to the TNC, and we'll start out with just putting that into a regular Baofeng radio, and then we'll start working on the other components. We'll one step at a time, getting everything working as we go. So anyway, one last call. Any comments or questions, and we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday.
Tech Deal.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
It's a little off center of your program, but there's a fellow on Clara. His first name is Marty. And I suggest that he contact you on your ARRL website email. He's into Raspberry Pi and several other, he and his son both, several other little machines there. So I thought the two of you had the same interest, you might get together. 86 Beyond.
Ah, good deal there, Harold, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can. Raspberry Pi, very neat, very inexpensive, basically mini-computer setup project, kind of like a project thing. The Arduino, and excuse me, I was mispronouncing it last week, and Jim kept trying to correct me. It's Arduino. The Arduino group of stuff, which actually interfaces into many things. The cool part about that is these modules are pre-built. Wi-Fi modules, Ethernet modules, all kinds of different little things, serial to USB modules. And the cool part is, yeah, well, for actually putting this thing together, we're going to borrow off of some of that rather than reinvent the wheel. And we're going to go ahead and throw a few things together. And why is that? A lot of these modules are, once again, after research, $2, $5, $8. Raspberry Pi itself is pretty cheap. I'm going to say somewhere, I think, around $18, $20. There are some Arduino boards out there, starter boards in that area. Basically, all good stuff. And that stuff there, too, a lot of the software to work with those is already written. There's so many people out there working on this stuff. It's free. Somebody has probably already written some software to do what you want to do and interface if with something, if you're a builder, and taking advantage of that to help, you know, get this thing going quicker, definitely save some time. So we're not going to reinvent the wheel. We're going to actually just polish it up a little bit and put some chrome polish on it, even if there are wooden spokes. So yeah, I'm looking through the email. I haven't gone through all my email. I've been away from it for quite a while. So maybe he's out there. Maybe it came through. This is KF6Q. All right. Well, if you've been listening in, glad to have you here this evening. Always very cool. And this is just one of the little projects off to the side that we're going to start working on. We'll go through each phase and step right now, working on the actual GPS format code that gets sent out. Not that we need to. We probably have something that'll understand what it says. $15.02 from one source. That is shipping included, by the way. That's tax, license, dealer's prep, and out the door. Yeah, that's pretty good. So I actually, like I said, did a lot of research to find out, number one, you know, just essentially how well has this been accepted into the community, and it is really a pretty hot takeoff. Fairly new, not real new, probably been around for about a year or so, but new to us, and definitely worth every penny. I don't even see how they can manufacture the stuff that cheap. All right, once again, thanks for being here. Hope we'll see you again next week. It's always fantastic to look into this stuff, and we try to keep things up to date. We will be getting back to some of our QST things from week to week, but we also like to kind of maybe take a right turn once in a while and work on stuff like this. It's it's a lot of fun, and we'll keep you up to date. So anyway, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for Tech Tuesday. We'll be closing the net at 1,900 hours, and yes, my goodness, 54 minutes. We've already been into this. I appreciate everybody out there for listening in. Thanks for joining us. Please join us again next week. We'll try to get some more good information out there and stuff going on. So thanks to Clint, and thanks to Jim also for doing a lot of that research and all that great information. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again. See you next week.